welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim, and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be Sugar. I will also play a record by the Chocolate Dandies and one by Fletcher Henderson. For the modern musicians, I will play a selection or two from the album Gene Goldcat and His Orchestra Dance Hits of the 20s in Stereo. Well, let's start with the Sugar, the famous or infamous recording by the Frankie Trumbauer Orchestra on October 26, 1927. Is it Bix or not that plays that solo? Well, that has been a very controversial subject. So what I'm going to do is what I suggested in the forum. I will first play a couple of records featuring Bix around the time of the recording of Sugar. Then I will play Sugar. Following that, I will play two additional recordings that feature Bix. And finally, I will play Sugar again. The first recording will be Changes by Paul Wideman, that was recorded on November 23, 1927, with a magnificent vocal by Bing Crosby, backed in the first part by John Fulton, Charles Gaylor, and Austin Young, and in the middle part he's backed by Harry Barris and Al Rinker. I will follow that by the October 25th recording of Since My Best Gal Turned Me Down. This is Bix and the Gang. And finally, from October 26, 1927, the Frankie Trumbauer Orchestra playing Sugar.
Changes into D, changes into E, as easy as the weatherman. getting kind of cold, getting kind of hot. Listen, I forgot, since he was a tot, he's been the talk of Dixieland.
Thank you. you know who she is, looking right at me is sugar, my sugar. Talk about your kissing, that's what made me christen sugar, my sugar. All flowers kiss her feet, here's how the birdies breathe, my sweetie, tweet, 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 which means
what? Ain't she sweet?
Say the bees would not be buzzing round her if she wasn't sugar, my sugar. I declare the honey hasn't got a thing on her, no sir. I might also mention, bring to your attention, she's so refined. In conclusion, therefore, that is why I care for sugar. to know who she is, looking right at me is sugar, my sugar. Talk about your kissing, that's what made me christen sugar, my sugar. All flowers kiss her feet, here's how the birdies breathe, my sweetie, tweet, 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 which means
what? Ain't she sweet?
Say the beans would not be buzzing round her if she wasn't sugar, my sugar. I declare the honey hasn't got a thing on her, no sir. I might also mention, bring to your attention, she's so refined. In conclusion, therefore, that is why I care for sugar.
First recording on in that set was Changes, that was take two. Then following Sugar, I played Sorry by Bix and the Gang, recorded on October 25th, 1927, and then Crying All Day by Frankie Trumbauer and his orchestra, same day, October 25th, 1927, and finally Frankie Trumbauer playing Sugar on October 26, 1927, and of course the question is whether that solo following the vocal in Sugar is by Bix or not. But let me do a little experiment. I'll play the solo from Crying All Day, and then the solo from Sugar. And these were taken 24 hours apart. You tell me if it is Bix on both. Well, there you have it. You decide whether that was Bix on both or Bix on Crying All Day and someone else on Sugar. Who? Let me change subject completely. I would like to play one side recorded by the Southern Serenaders. This is really the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra, and this recording was from August 7, 1925. It's Alone and Alone at Last, an arrangement by Don Redman, and there is a solo by Louis Armstrong in there. In my opinion, the Louis Armstrong solo is or has overtones which are Bixian from my point of view. However, there I must say that in Brian Rust's jazz discography there is a little bit of a question whether these Southern Serenaders are really the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra. He thinks they are, but he says something like, the Columbia files bear an artist credit to what looks like Fletcher Henderson's and his orchestra, each letter and the spaces between each word being obliterated with X, and the above pseudonym, means the Southern Serenaders, written in. There's some question that perhaps that was a Sam Lennon session, but then he goes on and says, in view of the evidence on the CBS file card and the sound of the sites themselves, I am prepared to accept the assertion of Louis Armstrong and Don Redman that the band responsible was Henderson's. So let's listen then to Alone at Last, from August 7, 1925, most probably Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra, with what I've considered to be Louis Armstrong playing a solo with Dixian overtones. I wonder what Walter Allen, the author of Hendersonian, says about this particular recording. I don't have a copy of this book. If anyone out there does have a copy, please let me know what he says about this particular recording. I understand that there are at least 500 recordings of Stardust. I'd like to play one of those 500. I already played in the previous programs, the Bing Crosby version, the Louis Armstrong version, the original version by Hoagy Carmichael, and today I want to turn to the Chocolate Dandies with a recording of Stardust from October 13, 1928, Don Redman, clarinet, and director, Langston Curlin, John Nesbitt on trumpet, Claude Jones on trombone, Milter Sr. on clarinet or alto sax, George Thomas on clarinet or alto sax also. Same thing for Prince Robinson, Todd Rhodes on piano, Dave Wilburn on banjo, Lonnie Johnson on guitar, listen to his guitar work here, Ralph Escudero on brass bass, and Cuba Austin on drums. This is one of the better versions that I know of Stardust, so listen carefully, and here it is, the Chocolate Dandies in 1928. That was magnificent. I love that version. Okay, now we turn to the modern musicians. This is really not a modern musician. It's Gene Goldcat, but it's not the Gene Goldcat that we know from the 1920s. This is the Gene Goldcat from 1959. There's this LP from RCA Camden entitled The Dance Hits of the 20s in Stereo. Gene Goldcat and his orchestra featuring Lou Hurst with Debbie and the Diplomats, and arrangements by Cy Oliver. The liners are very interesting here. There's some stuff that I would like to read. Gene Goldcat is quoted as saying, once he took over the Greystone ballroom and changed it from a dance hall into a ballroom, for the first time I could have my band play as I liked, and I started experimenting. I was looking for something, but I didn't know what. I traveled and listened to bands, and whenever I heard a good musician, I'd offer him a chair in my band. Being the band leader and the ballroom manager made this kind of experiment possible. Our theme song was There'll Be Some Changes Made. I guess they never recorded that. So many men came in and out of the band. I kept this up for about 3 years. During the era of popular music, Allcat recalls every ballroom and cafe manager had his own idea of how a band should play. One might insist that everything be done by the ensemble, loudly, and with no solos. He was paying for a full band, and a full band he would get. Another might have liked staccato music, so every arrangement must be played staccato. When I became my own boss, Allcat smiles, I was responsible to nobody. I felt the thing to do was to leave the band alone. After all, I had hired the best musicians I knew. I had hired them because of their talents. It would have been an insult for me to have tried to make them play in any way other than their own. Those men were left alone to express themselves, and that was the guiding genius behind my band. Allcat's orchestra, in addition to being musically exciting, outstanded its audiences by playing without a leader. Gene, who made the band a profit-sharing outfit, felt that the members were good enough musicians to play without a smiling gigolo type standing in front, beating time. And that's the way the band went into New York's famous Roseland. So there's a lot of good, interesting information here. I'm going to play one side from this LP. It's Varsity Drag. And the musicians here are Jimmy Maxwell, Yank Lawson, Doc Severinsen, and Mel Davis on trumpets, Will Bradley, Jack Satterfield, and Herbie Green on trombone, Toots Mondello, Dean Kincaid, Hank D'Amico, Milt Yenner, and Al Klink on reeds, Chauncey Morehouse on drums. He is one of the original members of the 1920s Allcat band, the only one. Ward Lehr on string bass and tuba, Irving Brodsky, another one of the 1920s guy on piano, and George Barnes on banjo and guitar. Joe's Venuti's violin solos are interpreted by Felix Orlowitz. So let's listen to the Gene Allcat Orchestra in 1959 playing the Varsity Drag. See what 30 years can do to you. You become a parody of what you were. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Come to the end of today's edition of Dix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Dix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station of the Vixography website, for another edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Dix is alive.